Welcome everyone to our regular scheduled board meeting. It is September 26th at a little after 7, so I'm going to ask the clerk to please take the roll call.
Trustee Bachner.
Here.
Trustee Gillis.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Brennan.
Here.
Trustee Johnson.
Here.
Trustee O'Connell.
Here.
President Aducey.
Here. Okay, I'd ask everyone to stand to say the Pledge of Allegiance with us. Very big support, thank you. Alrighty, so we're at citizens' comments. Before we get into some of the great announcements. So we've got Therese, you want to wait till we get to that?
Yeah.
Okay, and then we have Pamela. Pamela?
My name is Pam Weiss, and I live at 511 Ashland, the Chatterton condo. I'm located just behind the infamous Lake and Lathrop project site. I've lived at my address for 5 years, three of which have been involved in the demolition and supposed improvement of that property. I'm not limiting my comments to complaining about the project, but I'm also focusing on the responsibility of the Village of River Forest and you, the board. I'm sure you've heard enough questions and complaints about this property, and many of the complaints are about the property, but I am here to remind you that you as our elected officials also have a commitment to the taxpayers to keep this project moving forward. When promoting Lake and Lathrop property, the phrase walking lifestyle is mentioned. I would like the Village of River Forest to take some responsibility and restore the walking lifestyle for the residents who are surrounding that property. We're moving into the third winter of trying to navigate these streets. Mm-hmm. Residents who walk to church, to the two schools in the area, Jewel Bank, and other local businesses need these sidewalks. As we move into the session of snow and ice, we already know that the property owners are not good at cleaning up the snow. It usually only happens after complaints are filed. At the moment, and all summer long, you risk your life turning an ankle or breaking a bone from the cement and gravel bits that are along the path. They do not clean up after themselves. I would like the River Forest Village to take some responsibility here. After 3 years of climbing across to access the walk light at Lake or Lathrop, I realize this might create an issue for traffic, but maybe it's time for the village to step up and require protected walkways like most municipalities do, so local residents and visitors to our village can walk in safety to other local villages. It's not just about Lake and Lathrop. Lately, it seems there are only a few people on site, often before a board meeting. And as is the case today, they worked for about 3 hours, loaded all their toys into their trucks, and vacated the property. It's not the first time this has happened. I'm asking the village to say no more Mr. Nice Guy and get this project finished up. Thank you.
Thank you, Pamela. Normally we don't respond, but this might be a good time. I know we're waiting for celebration of our softball teams, but I think this is a good time for Brian to give the update on Lake and Lathrop and what we are doing to actually address your concern and actually our concern, and that is our walkway and our parkway, which is what we can control. So I'm going to let Brian talk about that, and I also want to remind all the residents that are listening in and are here, all of this will be updated on our website beginning tonight. So whatever Brian says will also be on our website and, of course, in audio. So, Brian.
Thank you very much, and apologies, kids, for taking this time away from your celebration. But to give you a quick update, first off, Sedgwick was invited to attend tonight's meeting. We also have directed Sedgwick under the terms of the RDA to provide us with a schedule update. They are to provide it to us per the RDA, and they are currently, when I spoke with them last week, preparing that schedule to be presented to us. Regarding the sidewalk, they were directed to restore the sidewalk. They advise us that that work is to take place tomorrow. That said, the village has a backup plan to affect the work this week. So depending on where we stand at the end of business tomorrow, we'll make sure that that sidewalk is put back in, and we will charge Sedgwick for the work that we need to do. Regarding the site conditions, you're absolutely right. Back in August, the village issued nine citations to Sedgwick regarding conditions on the site. That goes before adjudication hearing on October the 3rd. Our goal, of course, is to gain compliance, but if we aren't able to gain compliance, we will be pursuing a daily fee for non-compliance with it.
And also, I want to remind everybody that the developer has paid in full their permit fee, which they have 18 months to build. And I know that sounds, they may not get there. I think whether we agree or not, but they've paid in full. And every developer has the right to, do what they need to do within that 18 months. And then they re-up if we allow them. But meanwhile, they need to have a clean and safe site. And so we agree with all of our residents. And that's, unfortunately, there is a process for that. So when we cite what Brian was saying, we cite them. We give them a notification that they will go to in front of a judge. And the judge will then hopefully agree with us that this is unsightly and unsafe. And if they agree with us, then we have the right to fine them daily until such time they restore the property. Meanwhile, as Brian said, we will restore what we believe is in our power to restore at their cost when they will pay. So we hear you. I want to make sure everyone understands we hear you, and we are doing whatever we can within the confines of, our RDA agreement and what legally, we don't get too far ahead of our skis, but we need to do with what legally we can do right now. So I want to assure you that's what we're doing.
I was going to mention this in my comments. So should I address it now?
No,
since
I think
we're already on it, or should
I think you should hold off, okay, and then we'll address your issues at that time. Okay. We want to celebrate the gals that are here, and I know they want to go home and enjoy their evening and not here, but Lake and Lathrop. So I don't blame you. So, now let's go on to elected officials' comments and announcements. We've got some fun stuff here before us, recognition of the 10U and the 14U Little League softball champions. And I know we have some coaches here, and we have some certificates that we want to provide to all of you. What a wonderful, incredible feat. I think this is the first for us. I'm not 100% sure. Is that Greg? Is this two girls, two in 1 year? First time ever. That's what I thought. What a wonderful, wonderful accomplishment, ladies and girls. And we're just really proud of you here in River Forest. And so we have some certificates. I'd ask the coaches if you want to come up, and we'd like to acknowledge each and every one of the girls that are on the team with a certificate. So please make your way up. Well, here, we can be right at the podium, and we'll speak into the microphone because people are on Zoom. So we have the 10 U teams and the 14 U teams.
Should we do the little guys first?
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Thank you very much for having us here tonight. I'm Ann Bath, and I am the vice president of softball. And we have Nick Samatis and Steve Jasinski, who has been training the 14U crew since they were 7, 8 years old. And so this is a process. It's a marathon, and it starts really, really young, and they've dedicated so much time to it. And we're so proud of all of the girls. It was quite a year for softball this year. 10U and 14U both won their state championships. 10U is really a development year to go into to compete in regionals and Little League World Series when they're 12, 14, 16. And so we got to just stop after state. And 14U went on to compete in the regional in Indianapolis and had an amazing, amazing performance there as well. So girls, we'll start with 10U. We have, I think, 8 of 13 here. First up, Alice Beck. Emma Alvarado, alphabetical order. You got to shake Kathy's hand.
Yeah,
Kathy, we're gonna let you we're gonna let you wear this.
Oh wow!
You can't keep it, but you can wear it when you shake their hand.
Take a picture.
Lauren Leibengoose, come on down.
Good job.
Avery Bryant. They did such a good job putting it in alphabetical order. Ariana Catrimbone. Lindy Tekla, who is not present, but I will hand deliver. Grace Stein. Good job, Gracie. Zoe Daly, who is not present. Alisa Ortiz, who is not present. They're busy playing softball. They're practicing. Emma Sacalaris, who is not present.
That's all right.
Olivia Mass, come on down. And Anna Dorr, who is not present. Congratulations, girl. And Charlotte Ireland. Charlotte, where's your... Oh, it sucks. It sucks. It was stuck to Lindy. I mean, it wouldn't be a day if I didn't make a mistake. I did. Do you want to take a picture?
Yeah, we'd love to take a picture where maybe it's a little bit better here.
Yeah, get all the...
Right. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you. Good to see you. What? Me and Coach Steve have been coaching a lot of these girls since 8U. We are actually going to meet tonight and discuss if it's a retirement from for a softball or we're going to go one more year. So we're all going to meet and talk about that a little bit later. So hopefully, maybe we do have 1 year left in us. We'll see. But I want to start with the girls, CC DeLise.
Yeah.
Zoe Penn.
Yeah.
Jenny King.
Yeah.
Molly Meehan.
Yeah.
Sophia Leonardi.
Yeah.
Nicole Jasinski.
Oh, yeah.
And then Grace Samatis.
There
are three girls that weren't able to make it tonight, Edie Carroll, Lynn, and Lily Putin.
Yeah, woo!
Thank you, appreciate it.
Thank you very much for letting us come tonight. Very proud of the girls. My name is Greg White, president of the baseball softball board for way too long. It's a sickness, what can I say? But I'm so proud of the girls. First time ever in 75 years. We've been in Little League 75 since 1952. So the turf infield was a great move.
Yeah.
And it's really helped our program immensely. So thank you for your support in that. And I'm very, very proud of the girls. And they're going to probably win another one in another year or two also. So thanks very much
Woo!
For your time.
Well, we're
really
real proud of you,
it.
Girls.
Thank you.
Woo! Well, keep up the great work. We're so proud of all of you. Thank you, Greg, for everything you do for our community and the coaches. You're the best. Thank you so much. Without the coaches, we wouldn't have won, right? I assume you guys have to put it all together. And it starts with discipline, and it starts with practice, and the coaches lead that. So thank you so much on behalf of the village and our community. We're really proud of everything that you've done. So thank you. Thank you again. Thank you. Thank you guys are awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you. I enjoyed it. Right. All righty. Go have some pizza.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Another spot.
It is a school night. All right, very good. Okay, so let's go ahead and we'll go on with the elected official comments. So, Bob, do you mind to start?
Really, I have nothing tonight.
Nothing?
So,
okay.
Nope.
All right.
Thank you.
That's okay, too. All right, thank you.
You want me to go?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Ken, if he's got nothing, you're next.
All right. Just want to wish all the residents a happy upcoming fall.
Yep.
I had the opportunity to attend two things since the last board meeting, one being the IML conference, which I think congratulations are in order, because that we have a new president of the IML, and it just happens to be Kathy Aducci. So I think we should give it up for her for a little bit.
Yeah, thanks.
She said a wonderful speech about the community of River Forest and just made us all proud. So I'm proud of you and glad to know you. So, and then I also attended the WMMC dinner, which I was unfortunately underdressed for, but I did enjoy myself. So, but it was a great time.
Yeah, you look great.
I'm learning. So.
No, it's all good. Anything goes.
I didn't notice the thing.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
You're underdressed.
Yeah.
Oh,
all right.
That's all.
Super.
Yep, thanks. So mm-hmm. I have a couple things. Yeah. I also attended the Attorney's Day for the IML conference with Ken. And I wanted to just mention one of the presentations that I went to that was particularly interesting was on DEI lessons learned from a couple of other communities, Carbondale and Peoria, and a couple of things that they mentioned. I know that we can get a hold of the slides, and I thought that they were very useful. So a couple of things that they mentioned were they each have DEI or diversity and inclusion task forces or commissions. And then they have, in addition to that, implemented some minority hiring goals within the villages. One of the commissions has recently put out a community-wide survey looking for public input. One of the communities has started a 5-on-5 program, which is moderated community discussions between the police and the residents, and it's moderated by a retired police officer, which I thought was an interesting program. Another community had a diversity empowerment action team. One had a program for Mayor's Youth Group, helping kids who are minorities have an opportunity to work in public works. And one thing that caught my ear was in Peoria, they've started a minority business registry, which reminded me that at the time that we were organizing the West Village Juneteenth parade, and we were trying to contact local minority-owned businesses and also give them business that from the parade and from River Forest's own Juneteenth flag raising, we didn't have a list of the minority-owned businesses in town, and we just sort of went with the ones that we knew of. But that was something that caught my eye because it would have been helpful when we were planning those events. So that's we can get the slides and the materials from that if you guys are interested. Yeah. And then the other thing I wanted to mention was that at our last meeting, I did ask if we could invite Lake and Lathrop developers to our meeting. I'm glad that you did. Thank you so much. And I wanted to hear a little bit more, like, are they receptive to it? Did they not respond? Did they say no? What happened there? Because I think they should hear what the residents have to say. And I think, you know, residents and the board have questions and would like to get more feedback from them.
The healthy dialogue. We strongly encourage them to attend. They said they would take it under advisement.
Oh.
Can I just ask a question for that, Brian? So one of the things that you brought up that really did strike me was the issue of the upcoming snow season. So do we have any plans for that as well? I know we want to maintain a walkable area, but as far as cleaning up after that and, you know, who knows what's under snow, so we need to make sure that that doesn't become.
Right, and that's one of the positions why we want the sidewalk properly installed. Properly maintained.
Control is our. We agree. I mean, I think we all agree around the table. Passable. You know, some of it wasn't just all developer. Some of it was utilities. And, yeah, so everything kind of comes together, which is unfortunate. So dealing with the utilities and then other things, I think, complicated things. So today I think we worked with the utilities to clean up their cones and other things. So that looks good, but we know that other stuff has to be addressed.
Those were utilities not related to their site. That was
the fiber
optic work that was going on throughout the village throughout the summer.
That's correct. So unfortunately, they just coincided.
And just the last thing I wanted to just remind residents that October 5th and October 12th are the deadlines to let our waste hauler know that you want to have hazardous waste or electronic waste picked up.
No, but you can afterwards if you don't mind, unless it's a quick question.
I'm just wondering, like, what about me?
Huh?
How do I get my picked up?
Good question. And we'll try not to, but that's a great question. So go ahead. That's all right.
I'll touch base with you after the meeting. Right now, my understanding with LRS is that this program is only for those people who are part of the village contract. So anybody who utilizes a private waste hauler, anything that's more than 3 units per building is privately contracted. Those individuals are.
That's not to say that your condo association or your HOA could not participate via your own contract.
Nothing new to add. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. A couple things. First of all, I also joined on the IML conference and as well as West Central Municipal Conference. They're both very good, but not so much because it's also educational, but also the fact that you continue to develop relationships and maintain relationships with other villages and other state representatives, which is really key. I mean, for us, and I think, Kathy, congratulations again on being the president, but I think you highlighted that in your speech about how it's important that our villages work together. We have the covenant with Maywood, but that should not stop us. And I know it hasn't. Us from working with other so these type of functions help us develop that and create those type of projects that benefit all of us and all of our communities. So thank you for that, and thank you for all of the trustees who participated in some or all of those events. So thank you. The other thing I wanted to talk about is I did meet with the River Forest Collaborative Committee. Just a couple of highlights regarding each of the respective sister agencies. Talk about working together with our respective sister departments and agencies here in River Forest. Just highlights in terms of the Park District. They're obviously progressing in the Keystone Park update, which they came to us here to get a permission to work on. They're still on that. They did indicate that their next project, although they don't, and they're looking at actually next spring to work in Washington Park, and they're focusing that park as an ADA park, so making it more accessible for individuals with disabilities. So that's the next highlight for them. Regarding District 200, they're still working on a number of projects for them. They did highlight. And for those of us who did go, which I did on Saturday, September the 24th, they had an open house to see the new or phase one, completion of phase one and the updates they made, which are incredible. It was great not only looking at the facility, but they also had some of their faculty members in the math department and the English department, history department to show you their classrooms and how their new methodology and teaching is benefiting the students. In addition, there were students there too that were really excited about their new facilities and building, which is great to see. So they also talked about that they're looking and striking a deal with the Park District about switching the tennis courts with some of their athletic fields. And so they're going to be striking a deal with that, but also they're looking at using geothermal energy for sustainability purposes in their, what used to be their baseball field is now going to be turned into a track field. And so they're thinking of building that and providing energy, not for their whole facility, but at least one or two of their buildings. Regarding D90, they started the school fine. They're actually working on or going to be working on, again, on the issue of whether they'll go with full-time kindergarten. So they're going to be exploring that, doing a cost analysis again. About the issues, there's a number of issues, not only in terms of cost of facilities, but the cost of faculty and additional instructors. So they're going to be doing all that again and hopefully getting a report in the spring coming up in 2023. Regarding the library, they came to us, if you may recall, their air handler work. Their bids are coming in. It took a little while because of the pandemic, et cetera, with supplies, but they're hoping that's going to be moving quickly within the next couple of months. They did also ask, you may have seen something going around either by mail or by email as well. They're going to be working on their five-year strategic plan, and so they're really seeking feedback from everybody. So please submit your comments to them on the type of services you're interested in or would like them to focus on. Last but not least, the township, they talked about their additional increasing assistance for seniors, but they did raise an issue that they noticed that they're having more issues with children on bikes, that they're not staying on the lanes, they're staying in the middle of the street, et cetera, not necessarily stop signs, et cetera. So this came up more as an issue of safety and security for children and people are driving around, even though you're careful, or drivers in vehicles seem to be careful, but it looks like some of the kids, and they were, the focus was the middle school kids were the ones that were a little more aggressive or energetic in terms of their abilities. So they said, keep an eye out as you're driving along the roads in River Forest. So that was about it. So thank you. The township raised the issue initially, saying that they've been experiencing it a little more because as they drive around, not that it was limited to them, but and then when they raised it, some of the other people in River Forest were saying, oh, yeah, I experienced the same thing. So highlighting more like be careful.
I know that we have to share the roads with bikes. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm wondering if it is because it's so new, does it make sense to may not necessarily be the biker's fault. Just getting used to.
Okay, and I'm not saying vehicles are not careful. What I'm saying is at least the issues they raised were there are some kids who are like riding in the middle of the street, and then the cars are approaching behind them, and they still won't move aside, meaning not totally off the road, but to the right where they're supposed to be riding the bikes. And so they're becoming, and then of course, it says some kids too, the other issue was they're riding their bike while they're texting and looking at their phones. Yeah. And that's another thing. Yeah. It doesn't look cool to use a helmet while they're riding the bike. Those type of issues that that were raised that maybe there should be some discussions with kids, whether there's parents, whether there's schools, or something along those lines.
I would encourage the township and D90 to get together.
Well, they were there, and they said they would do that, too.
And
well.
I know Katie and I have done this before.
Yeah.
Active Transportation is a great organization that does bicycle safety and other safety measures that maybe perhaps D90 and the township could connect with Active Transportation. Maybe they could do a seminar. Maybe they could do a Zoom meeting with parents. I don't know, but I think there's a lot, I guess what I'm saying, there's a lot of safety
issues,
education issues. Seminars, things mm-hmm. like that, that we could.
And don't worry, Chief O'Shea, I did not tell him I was going to send you out to start arresting kids.
If I can just piggyback on what yeah. Kathy said, Eric, who's the proprietor at Wheel and Sprocket in Oak yeah. Park, helped us. He was on the task force that worked on developing the bike plan, and he had offered back then and has continued to offer to be involved in educating not just the bike riders, but it's the cars, because, those are sharrows on the road, and that means there's those cars are supposed to be sharing the road with the bikes. The bikes are not obligated to move over. The cars are supposed to be behind the bike. The bike has the right to have the whole lane.
Okay.
And I think part of it is that drivers don't realize that. And of course, the kids are smaller on the bikes too, and are, you know, they're little whippersnappers. But mm-hmm. But we as drivers need to be educated that those bikes deserve to have that whole lane.
And what if it's two-way?
The whole, you know, one side of the road.
I understand.
They shouldn't go in the middle of the road. But okay. If I'm on the right-hand side of the road as a driver and I'm behind a bike, that biker is not obligated to pull over to the side and let me go as the driver behind them.
Okay. I totally agree with what you just said. What I'm saying, and maybe I didn't clarify it, we have kids who are going on both sides
yeah.
of the road and using the cell phone, texting. It was a safe. No one was blaming that it's solely the fault of the kids. They were just saying they're starting to see more kids do that. That's all.
Well, I think there's educational.
No, I agree. Educational for everybody.
So maybe if any, I don't know, we just send a note to
sure.
90 in yeah. township.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. All right, I'll keep it short and sweet. Basically, yes, IML's statewide collaboration through the IML conference, my first one, eye-opening in terms of just seeing the power of us all working together at the state level mm-hmm. and under your leadership. It will be amazing. Western Central Municipal League, again, the power of collaboration in the western suburbs, awesome. We need to do more of it, and it's good to meet those people at those events make the relationships to drive that collaboration. I shouldn't say, I'm going to say it wrong, Shana Tova, which means good year because it is Rosh Hashanah. It started last night and it ends tomorrow evening. For those who would like to, Tour Proviso is this Saturday, October 1st. It starts at 7:45, free registration. I'll be there. I haven't been on a bike in like 20 years outside of a cycle club, so it'll be interesting. The Trinity campaign, they're doing the ribbon cutting on their new school on Tuesday the 4th.
Yes.
Another great thing to kind of celebrate as a village. It looks amazing. I don't know if you've seen it. Last but not least, the Pumpkin Patch Parade in support of Maywood Fine Arts is a week from Saturday. And that's another great thing that we can all participate with to support our neighbors. And then ongoing is the Greentown team. Meeting of which River Forest is well represented. It's a great group. Thanks. Bye.
Wow.
No, that's important. The Green Town. I owe you.
Yeah.
No, it's totally important.
Yeah,
and
brilliant.
We have a homework assignment due on Friday.
I know. On my to-do list.
I might take longer. So I'd like to start with a land acknowledgement. As we begin, we are mindful that we hold these meetings on land that was once and still inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, the Chippewa, Menominee, Potawatomi nations, and more. We will remember our nation's history and honor the Native people as stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. I want to say Happy New Year to those who are celebrating Rosh Hashanah, and also Happy Hispanic and Latinx Heritage Month. And as we are thinking about that and thinking about those who were impacted in Puerto Rico and their families because of Hurricane Fiona and the aftermath that ensues from that, they have not recovered from Hurricane Maria several years ago and have to go through this ordeal as well. If people are interested, You can make donations. One website is HispanicFederation.org to find ways to support those families and people in Puerto Rico. In relation to the DEI advisory group, we had our meeting last week and heard from our final bidder, and I think everybody was very impressed with them. From my understanding, we are just tick and tying the last parts of the contract, and that will we will see that shortly here. Was happy to attend the IML conference, and I think we all were sort of talking about IML, but really it's a chance to see everybody on a municipal level, the village trustees, the village administrators, the clerks, the lawyers. So to be in a space with all those people coming together, I attended an economic development forum, and it was just a round circle. I thought that I was going to be listening to topics, and they're like, no, you are going to be participating with all these other folks, right? So to hear everyone's challenges and the great ideas that they have, I am excited to bring some of those here to River Forest, and just know that everyone's trying to do the same thing we're doing, right? And there are many communities like River Forest. It was surprising to hear how many communities were similar to River Forest in their needs across Illinois. I do want to just also with Rez, I wanted to mention for the Twin Village Covenant, absolutely, like we should be working with all our neighbors. Just as a reminder, the Twin Village Covenant was something put in place sort of to just create more awareness around the work that we can do with Maywood and how we can build better relationships with that town in particular, but I think it really has overflowed into the western suburbs and beyond into Proviso, and I'm so happy to see that work in the last past years. I do have a question around, also, Katie, you were talking about percentages of minority vendors trying to do that work. And I think for the DEI advisory group, one of our focus subcommittees is supplier diversity. And as you may have experienced, it's not an easy thing to just come up with that list of names really quickly. It's something that has to be curated over years. And that's the importance of it, because it's hard for minorities of any kind, right? Veteran organizations and businesses owned by veterans, by those with disability needs, those of the LGBTQ community, those who are part of the global majority. It's hard to get an in if we don't regularly look for that. So we've got some wonderful people who are waiting for us to attack that issue. And I think we should have some good. I do want to ask around Lake and Lathrop, Brian, the sidewalk work, if you could explain what that is exactly, mm-hmm. because I have a comment.
Certainly, it's focused on Lake and where the fence has been pulled forward to allow for the overdig to take place so that they could put the foundation wall on the north side. That section of sidewalk is to be restored to
Because I know sometimes that, for whatever reason, the construction that's being done can't do that. And I often see, like in downtown Chicago or places where they're building out an entire block, you will see them actually build wood structures or plastic structures to be able to provide a flat walk around, because it's not possible to do that. And I'm wondering if that's something that we can maybe think about doing, and then, of course,
certainly, we can explore that a little bit more with them. Happy to do that. The challenge that we have, especially on Lake, is that there's a dedicated right turn lane. So we would have to essentially create something that goes into that driving lane, which
above the sidewalk. Oh, thanks for the idea. It's always good to have good, you know, good ideas to try to solve.
I'm sorry, build. What do you mean, build above the sidewalk?
So if the sidewalk
right.
and the fence part where
right.
you see, you would build on top of that, like maybe a wood structure, or plastic structure, whatever it is,
like
a ramp.
Like, well, you got to be careful with ramps because then you got ADA issues. But you know, I know what you're saying. But I think the first issue is we need to get the sidewalk back to its regular condition.
Right. But I mean, there's
yeah.
issues on
because
the Lathrop side too.
Yeah, it would be both sides.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Kirk. All right. I think you all kind of talked most about what I would have mentioned, so thank you so much. I just want to emphasize, you know, I see the power of Illinois Municipal League because of what all you all said, and that is bringing people together, sharing ideas. So I'm glad most of you, if not all of you, went. So that I think that's great for us here in our community and for us to build those relationships with other communities. And it's also good, I mean, you know, for our lawyers, I mean, you get CDL credits. I mean,
right.
there's a great benefit to go to as well. Plus, you learn a lot. So I love it. I've always seen the power of it. So I'm so thank you for all, you know, taking out some time. Some of it is Saturday time, so I know it was a lot to ask. I also attended the West Central Municipal Conference, and we did elect our first African-American woman, Mayor Katrina Thompson from Broadview, so very excited for her. You know, she's one of the folks that, you know, is leading the C4 initiative, which is something that we're real proud to be part of. I also attended the Dominican University President Dinner. It's basically Glenna Temple bringing leaders across the community together for discussion, which, you know, I really value her input, and it's good to have a continued relationship with Glenna. I also provided a video to our the Jewish community and wishing them a good Rosh Hashanah as we, you know, go into this week. So it's an important part. And I think we talked about Greentown and we've talked about other events that are coming up. I'm also going to be attending a luncheon with the Chamber of Commerce Tuesday. So a lot going on. Thank you for everybody's involvement. I think people are seeing the level of activity show up. So that's real important. So thank you. So we'll go ahead and move on to our consent agenda. If we can get a motion to approve the consent agenda, item A through G.
I move that we approve consent agenda items A through G.
Okay. If I can ask then the clerk to please read out loud those items and then take the vote.
Consent agenda A, Village Board of Trustee meeting minutes, September 12, 2022. B, a right-of-way encroachment waiver and agreement for an irrigation system and the public right-of-way with property owners at 910 William Street. C, a right-of-way encroachment waiver and agreement for an irrigation system and the public right-of-way with the property owners at 915 William Street. D, a right-of-way encroachment waiver an agreement for an irrigation system in the public right-of-way with the property owners at 1425 Franklin. E, authorize the purchase and upfitting of two 2023 Dodge Durango police service vehicles, price of $103,176, using the fiscal 23 budgeted amount of $103,176. The Capital Equipment Replacement Fund. F, Financial Report, August 22. G, Village Administrator's Report. Trustee Johnson?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Bochner?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you. We have nothing on item 6, 7, or 8, so we'll move on to new business, which we have need a motion on the floor. Okay.
Sure. I move to approve a resolution waiving public bidding and authorizing the execution of an agreement for the purchase of a 2024 Lifeline Superliner Type 3 ambulance between the Village of River Forest and Lifeline Emergency Vehicles, Inc., in the amount not to exceed $304,021.
Second.
Okay. Tom, does anybody want to, you want to just say a few words on it for the trustees, and then we'll open it up for discussion?
Good evening, everyone. Yeah, this is to replace our current unit that is a 2014 ambulance. Our reserve unit is a 2006, so that comes up in the frontline service when our main unit goes out of service. Ambulances are unique vehicles, so that's why we're looking at waiving the bidding process. We did work with two vendors. One other vendor, Wheeled Coach, came up about $20,000 more than Lifeline for the same exact basic, basically the same ambulance, apples to apples. So that's pretty much it. It's got a couple new unique features that weren't available years ago. There's a air cleaning system that was incorporated into this that wipes out COVID and other viruses and that inside the ambulance when it's down for maintenance or after a call.
I'll add two additional details if you don't mind. Obviously, sure. You're probably taking a look wondering why there's a resolution that's on the agenda.
Oh, yes.
And to explain, the lead time to get this equipment is actually 2 years.
28 months.
Yeah. Okay. So essentially what we're doing is we're making the agreement that purchased this on a future fiscal year budget. So it's kind of an installment payment plan, which you are allowed to do by right. However, we're having one installment payment, and it's going to impinge on that when it's due to arrive.
As Brian stated, the turnaround time now is 28 months to get due to supply chain issues and those type of things that we all keep hearing about. Even a regular fire engine now that used to take about 6 months to get built is now at 24 months. Approving this tonight, we still won't see the ambulance for 28 months, the way things are going right
now. Lisa, I know you had a few questions. Did we answer those questions for you regarding the capital?
Yeah, my question was just more about the bidding, and it sounds like we went to it, like we did go to more than one provider.
We had Wheeled Coach and Lifeline both worked with us, and we actually started out with four. There's really only four manufacturers in the ambulance world. And we went with four. We broke it down to two, had the two submit their bids, and one was about $20,000 more than Lifeline.
Okay, thank you.
And this was budgeted in the CIP, the current CIP for 23. But again, like Brian said, this is going to be two budget years from now, delivery, so.
Any questions for the chief?
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Bochner?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Johnson?
Yes.
Okay. We can also get 9B. We can move move it and second it, and then we can ask the president. So if I can get a motion on 9B in a second.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion to approve a contract in the amount of $284,000 to Anthem Excavation and Demolition for the River Forest Buildings Demolition Project and authorize the village administrator to execute said contract agreement.
Thank
you. Okay. All right. So we've got Deborah and Therese. Those are the two. Great. Super. Thank you.
Hi. Hello. Thanks for hearing me out. I'm here on my own, but also on behalf of our neighborhood organization, the Lathrop Ashland Neighbors. And we did submit some comments in advance, but I can read them to you. So in terms of the bid that you just approved, I did have some questions about...
We haven't approved it yet.
We just
the vote will happen after the comments.
Perfect. Okay, excuse me, it's my first time being here.
No
at
worries.
Meeting, so,
Sorry?
I sent the comments to to Matt.
Yeah,
I've got them right here on my phone, so I can read them to you.
Yeah, because I don't, Deborah, I thought maybe you didn't think you could.
Yeah, I wasn't sure.
So
my understanding was you had to
be here
first.
Yeah, no worries.
So I submitted them in advance because I work in the evening. Yeah, no problem. All right. So first of all, I wanted to thank again and acknowledge that Brian and Matt met with our group on August 30th about our concerns in terms of safety and security of the area. And I noted that you did put in your memo that you had discussions with us, which was great, and that the work would be completed by the village staff or a different contractor in the future. So what I wanted to do tonight was to confirm the details of that discussion regarding the plans and materials and the timing of the work, or that we could reserve some time to have a future meeting to get the details ironed out for what we need over there. So anyway, my first question or comment was that we would really like to have a combination of like iron fencing and tall arborvitae, which you can see in various places in the village, including on behind the Dominican, I think. There's it's William, and then there's a street that goes this way. I'm not really sure which street it is.
Concordia.
Yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. Sorry. I'm kind of new to the area. So anyway, it's beautifully done. It's, you know, totally protected. There's like a tall, I think it's probably like a 7-foot iron fence, and then the arborvitae is taller than that, and I know that they grow really tall. So that's the kind of protection that we're looking for, not, you know, a link fence like that's on Lathrop and a residential area. So that was one of the things we wanted to confirm. My second point was that, and this is just, it's sort of a question, but I wasn't sure whether I did look into it, but the village has a requirement to take the lowest bidder, and I see you had 7 bids for the demolition, and that you did go or are going to go with the lowest bidder. I have the amount incorrect in my email. It was $284, but I thought that the grant was for $350. So I wondered what happened to the extra money that was granted for the demolition. That was my one question, and if mm-hmm. that could be used for our protection and security. And then the second question was that in looking up Anthem, I noticed that they had a run-in with the governor's office sometime in the past, and I just wanted to know if in your due diligence in terms of the lowest bidder, whether the requirement by the village which for bids is the lowest responsible bidder, and I just wanted to know if that was, you know, accurately checked out in terms of the responsibility. The final thing about this part of it is that the Anthem named a couple of subs for performing asbestos remediation and plumbing. I guess that must have to do with just the buildings themselves and making sure that things are, you know, protected and capped off and not, you know, running into mm-hmm. the street. And the two outfits they named were Hussar Abatement and Quality Plumbing, and I just wanted to know if we would be receiving some background information on these two companies that look like it was named by Anthem. That's what it looked like the bid to me. Mm-hmm. In our meeting on August 30th, Brian had indicated that the village had some sort of like pre-plan information for the yet-to-be-demolished sites, and our neighbors are very anxious to learn when that information would be made available and what kind of a plan was happening there. Let's see. Okay, and then the rest of my questions, and I'll also read Renee's questions because they're an add-on to this, is the alley. So there are a couple of property owners here who once the houses at 10 and 11 Lathrop and Ashland are torn down, their houses will be right next to the alley, and it'll be some kind of open space. So we're wondering two things. One, with the green alley work that's coming down, why that particular segment of alley is not highlighted in magenta? Is that because of the demolition? Like, will that alley be paved? Will it be moved slightly north where those houses are now located so that there's still access between Ashland and Lathrop parallel to Madison? And yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Like, the alley seems to be, you know, it's just not indicated on the map. And then added to my questions, Renee Duba, who cannot be here tonight, she noted that, you know, it says in the bid that the contractor has to provide for dust mitigation no later than 5 days prior to the start of the work.
Mm-hmm.
And we would like to make sure that our neighborhood group is provided that, you know, information. She said that we would prefer to have the use of water spray. This is pretty significant too. The adjacent properties, the homeowners who are adjacent to this demolition, we would like to have us added to the insurance coverage in case there's damage to our property. Vibration monitors is an issue with demolition. Most of our homes are 110 up years old and have plaster. So, you know, we could end up with cracked walls and ceilings. We have a topsoil issue. It says that the plan is to lay 4 inches of topsoil and seed with a class one grass mixture, but the planting date in our planting zone is over and is not extending into November. So then what's going to happen is it going to be bare? Like, how are we working with this in terms of planting? What is the alternative for the property? It also says something about the installation of a chain link fence for the duration of the project. So I assume that that's to protect during the demolition. Yep. But then, of course, as I mentioned in all of my extensive comments, we would hope that once that demolition is done, that that will be removed pretty immediately, and that we will have our, you know, semi-permanent in place to protect our property. That's what I have.
Great. Okay, great, Deborah. And we'll answer a lot of those questions.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
So I'll let you talk, and then
thank you.
We'll talk through your questions.
Thank you. Teresa Peavy at 13 Ashland, right next door to what's being torn down. So I guess I have some more questions, not necessarily comments, but we heard a lot about Lake and Lathrop tonight, and I'm just hoping and wondering if we've learned anything in the bidding process about handing this out and hoping they do the work that's supposed to be done and instead having to go back to them and ask them for things that they aren't really complying with right now. And I want to make sure that Anthem is not going to be the same as Sedgwick when we move down the road. So I just wondered what things you put in place to make sure that that doesn't happen. I also want to know if you know the order of demolition. Will it be Lutheran Child and Family Services and then the two homes, or will it be the two homes, one home, then the other home, you know, what that order is, just so we know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have the boundary of the chain link fence? As I know Brian knows and many of you others who know where I live, there's about 6 feet between my home and the home that's being torn down. And so I want to make sure that whatever is put up is going to protect my home. Of course, all of the neighbors have issues with, as Deb mentioned, you know, vibrations and rodents and debris. But with the 6 feet space, I just want to make sure that we're protected. And I did have Deb's question as well about the insurance and that extra money, like making sure that our homes are protected if there's any damage that's done. What happened? You know, what's our remediation if there is damage that's done to our home? And then finally, what is the plan for the putting up of the barrier, the permanent, semi-permanent barrier after the demolition is done? We're heading into winter. If the demolition doesn't get done until it's already winter out, what's the plan to put something up to keep people from using that space that's now just going to be an empty lot? Those are my questions. Okay.
Thanks, Teresa. All right. All good questions. So thank you for being here and asking them. I'm going to ask Matt to take the podium. I think most of these questions, I think you'll have an answer to, if not all of them. So
should be all of them.
Should be all of them.
So just to provide some background, the village received a grant from the Department of Commerce earlier this year or late last year for $350,000. It was a line item grant that the village got a scope of work approved for the demolition of the work. So to the question about using the difference between the bid amount and the $350,000, that's not the case because the work needs to be kind of directly tied to the scope of work that's already been approved by the state. There's been a lot of steps to this process. The DCEO is the granting organization. There's a lot of different reviews across state agencies that have needed to take place, and it has kind of pushed back the project. So there are some challenges with the timeline in terms of planting that I'll discuss in a little bit. So part of the project, we had to go through the State Historic Preservation Office because the 7620 right on the corner of Ashland and Madison's main piece of the Lutheran Child and Family Services building is eligible for the National Register of Historic Places, so it needed certain requirements. So the village has hired a consultant that has already performed the majority of the work, including a historic building survey, and we are also in discussions with HIPPO, is the acronym for the Historic Office, to have a memorandum of agreement so that we make sure that we make efforts to salvage certain pieces of that property, particularly the stained windows and also the kind of brick windscreen on the front of the property. Related to that historic work, village 7620 piece is a significant property. So back in June, the village was the applicant for certificate of appropriateness with the Historic Preservation Commission here. The HPC did not grant a certificate of appropriateness, and they did implement a 1-week delay that expired in July. Due to the delays in the grant and the review, that is no longer a factor holding a back demolition. Then DCEO also has a requirement that, at least for this project, 30% of the grant funds need to go to a minority or women-owned business. So we needed to get that number before going out to bid and make efforts to try and attract a minority or women-owned business. There was some discussion earlier about the challenges with that. Village staff mailed about 75 notices of bid and emailed this from the state of those contractors trying to get as much interest as possible so that we can meet that requirement and not request a waiver of that requirement. So there was discussion about, we had only seven bids came back. Second, third, and fourth lowest bid did not state any effort to try and meet the necessary 30%. The lowest bid did. And there was some discussion or question about the subcontractors that are on that list. Those will not be the subcontractor for the project. In conversations with Anthem, they are trying to make sure that they need to hit the 30% requirement with the state. So they are currently in the process of hiring subcontractors that are certified with the state that are minority or women owned. So once that process is completed, we've already submitted a utilization plan, is what they call it, to meet that 30%. We are waiting to hear back from DCO on this, whether that's approved. Work will not begin until that is approved because we would potentially forfeit the grant funds if we were to proceed without meeting that requirement. So the two outstanding issues with the state are both the ball is in their court. We expect those reviews to happen very soon so that construction would begin or demolition would begin in October. In terms of the landscaping piece, obviously it's late September. So it's going to take a month or two for this demolition project. And you're right, it'll be winter and it's not the best time to plant. So the plan should be for staff to meet again with the group to discuss what those look like, the barriers following demolition. Because right now, depending on the schedule, it's don't want to make any promises about what the details are. For so in regards to the demolition fencing, the intent, based on the conversations that we've had and comments that we've received, is for the fencing, the chain link traditional construction fencing, to be removed following the demolition and once the site is up to grade with the topsoil. I think I'll have to talk to Public Works Director Jeff Losser about this, but there might be a need for silt fencing or things to try topsoil, especially if it's not secured with seed blanket in the winter. We don't want it to become pit or anything like that. In terms of the alley, the reason that it was not on the list is we have construction going on and demolition all at the same site. The for all alleys to be green alleys. What that alley looks like, I think that is not something that really on the table right now. The purpose right now is just to demolish property. The alley will be open during demolition. That is the intent, to have chain link around each spot. In terms of holding the contractor accountable, in this case, this is our project. We are the ones paying the contractor property. We have a lot more leverage to ensure that they are meeting the requirements and responding to the village, because not meeting the requirements set in the call for bids and our contract. So as opposed to like in Lathrop, which is complicated, this is directly the village can hold Anthem and the subcontractors accountable. That was most of the questions.
I think you were talking about insurance and the other, which is a big issue. So you want to address that?
Right, absolutely. So since the village is the one taking the action on the demolition, obviously we have to make sure that this is exactly what we had talked about when we met before. We want to continue to be good neighbors. We'll continue to work with you, Teresa. Well, I'll present this idea to you right now, but one of the methods that I used in a previous organization is that we would actually take photo and video evidence of the exterior interior of your home if you're up to it, so we can make sure that we preserved everything what it did look like before demolition, so that we have something to look back on and make sure that we have been the good neighbors that we promise you we're going to be.
So I think it's time. Go ahead.
I have one thing to address too, in terms of the responsibility of the contractor.
Yeah.
Once received, I called references for Anthem. They do a work with a variety of public sector, a lot of counties and forest preserves. I received no concerns or issues with their cost overruns or not responsive or not executing the work or scheduling.
You looked in what Deborah said in terms of any of the ends and
correct.
Possible that could have
been. I might add, actually, Anthem is a woman-owned business. They're just not certified.
They have applied for that certification.
They have applied,
yeah.
So it's possible that 100% of this project will be.
So one of the things I want to make sure we answer the question too, Deborah, you brought up about, hey, this is going to be 284, lowest responsible bidder. What about the rest of the money? And that's a great question. And I think you did address it, where the money is, the state's very restrictive in how the money is used. So although we'd like to use the remaining amount, we cannot do that. But that's not to say that we don't have money set aside to do what you want. And that's why we did the TIF, provided for the tax increment finance. It provided us some money to help the neighbors and with projects like this and other infrastructure projects. So we'll be, that's where your... Sure. Therese, why don't you come to the podium so that people can hear you.
I know the that the village is talking about alley work, and you're not going to include that alley. But is the timing of the rest of our alleys on that block of Ashland and Lathrop going to coincide with the demolition? Because I think that's going to be a lot of traffic jams. I'm just hoping that the work on the alley improvement isn't the same time that they're also demolishing property.
Great question. I don't think so, but I'm going to let Jeff confirm that.
Is that?
Yep.
So the alley between Lathrop and Ashland, while we're not doing the kind of south end of that, as we've just discussed, the north-south alley, and then there's an east-west one up at the top of that block, those are kind of scheduled next, if you will. So we're just starting all the alleys between Park and Franklin, between Vine and Madison this week. Kind of holding off a little bit on the Ashland to Lathrop alleys because of some of the supply chain issues that, you know, are kind of impacting everything right now. We've got some other delays with other alleys that are ongoing because of that. So I just talked to the contractor last week. He said, you know what, I don't want to give you a date on those Ashland to Lathrop alleys quite yet because there's still a lot of things that are up in the air. So we're still working to get those dates hammered out as quickly as we can here. But certainly anything that we need to coordinate with admin about making sure we're, you know, providing enough space for each of the contractors to work without impacting too much on parking or anything like that, we can certainly do.
And then I know you said that you would look at damage or, you know, take videos and photos of our two houses, to the question of if they're, you know, our houses in that whole area are older, and would you be willing to look at other houses besides the two that are adjacent to the product, the homes being demolished? That's one more question. Then the last one is, it's not necessarily damage to the home, but if there's an infestation of rodents because they're unleashed, especially this time of year, is there some kind of remediation that the village is willing to provide?
Yeah, to those two points, yes and yes.
Then there was a question about the order in which the demolition would take place. Our conversations, the intent would be to demolish the Madison Street property first so that those homes are still up as a buffer to that is the plan. In terms of what order the residential homes will go down, I don't have that.
Annette, you want to get to the, I try not to do this, but go ahead, because I know these are important questions for you guys. That's all right, Annette. Go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to say to the police, thank you very much for all the effort that you've put in. I live at 14 Ashland, diagonal from Muggsy's, and I'm a windows open person, and the amount of partying and street activity, I appreciate your presence there. I think you've done an amazing job. However, I have a zillion videos of mainly weekends, but my big concern is I would ask on top of the rats, on top of the dust, the houses breaking, the everything, that there would be an increased police activity, because I know we're all aware of, I'm very worried about this open space and the gathering. And I don't want to be naive, and I don't want to say things that I shouldn't, but like I said, I live there. I experience it all the time, so I would appreciate an increase of these cars and continuing to do the great job that you're doing. But I'm really worried, to be honest. We all live there, so there's a lot of questions, a lot of things that go into this. So thanks for all your work.
Thanks for
doing the good, proper, good job.
Thank you, Annette.
Sounds like we're going to have a chain link fence for longer than was originally planned, because we're going to be beyond the planting season when the demo is done. I'm wondering if that's right. To Annette's point, would a higher chain link fence around the perimeter of the area be helpful to prevent people from getting into the empty space?
the question about the chain link fence. We have to check to make sure we're aligning with our construction codes, but as long as the site is safe for, if we can take down that chain link, since the topsoil is there already, we would have to have some fencing to protect runoff and all the rest from when it snows and everything, but I don't believe that it would need to be till the planting season.
We're asking for it for protection purposes.
I was sort of inferring that from her comment. I'm not absolutely certain, but it sounded like the plan was to do the topsoil and plant through Anthem, and they finished that project. That would be the end of the project. Now, I think what we're hearing is that by the time they're done with demo and excavation, the excavation is going to be too late for them to do the topsoil planting.
So it's a little tricky. There's kind of two thoughts. One is that the chain link fence, about that tonight. So that does secure the site, though. So in conversations when we met a couple weeks ago, there were discussions about other ways to protect it that aren't chain link fence.
Right.
We can still discuss that with the neighbors process, but I don't want to heard the concern of people gathering there, which is completely understandable.
That's the conclusion. This, you're committing to, though, meeting with the residents, and making sure 100%. That this is where we can be in a mutual way, during the winter months. And
100%.
Yeah, okay. Bob?
Matt, start to finish, just on the demolition piece, how many weeks are we talking about?
4 to 6 weeks. I'll update the group if that's a difference.
Do you think they're going to start?
Well, that depends on when the state gets back some of the information. We also need to get a Cook County demo. It'll only take a few days. We're hoping.
We also have to get the subcontractor information, too, to see if that falls under the...
Correct. So that's already been submitted to the state for their approval to make sure that...
It'll start in October.
Yes.
Is it going to be something else, Deborah?
Yeah. Parking, okay. So all the trucks that are going to be surrounding Ashland, Lathrop, all that area... The parking is kind of a twofold thing. So on Lathrop, we have two-hour parking, but it's not obeyed at all, ever. And so people who work, people must know this. So people who live on Lathrop in that first block, in front of my house, my neighbor's house, it's always parked all day long by people who work around the area, mostly in Forest Park. The sign was on the ground for a while, and Jeff had it raised up, so that it was visible, but it doesn't really help. So anyway, this is going to be an issue with trucks there for 4 to 6 weeks, all those spots, and then those spots, and then further spots. And then when we have the alley construction, sorry to bump onto this, but it's related, and we're not allowed to use our alleys or park in our garages or park in our alleys, we will also have, mostly on Lathrop, but also on Ashland, the issue with people parking there and then no space for us to park. I noticed on that sheet that went on the website, it has indicated a little parking area for two cars, on Vine and at the other end of Lathrop. But if you know Lathrop, I know Lathrop, that's not going to be significant.
So thanks, Deborah. And that's something we'll work with the police department on as well. So Annette brought that up, and I think that's a good point. And if it's going to push our cars over, we have to make sure that Forest Park people that park in our spot for more than 2 hours.
I have another question. In the packet, I was a little bit confused about the time of construction. It said 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, but then it also said some seem to suggest some work until 9 p.m.
Not sure about that. It would need to meet our construction.
Into page 82 of the packet.
That was like the-
wrote down section 108. Overtime work.
Right, that's the overtime work, which can only be approved by the village. They'd have to get advance approval from us. Any overtime work would take.
So no loading, unloading, opening or closing, or other handling of crates, containers, building materials, or the performance of construction work shall be performed before the hour of 7 a.m. and after the hour of 9 p.m. Last sentence of that section.
Regular working hours shall be a consecutive eight-hour period from the hours of 7 o'clock a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m.
Right, and then the next sentence is what I just read. So how do you justify those two sentences?
So there are two different details. So one is obviously they can work between 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. They can be given permission to do overtime work or the performance of work Saturday or Sunday with written consent from the village, and that's where the state of the 9 p.m. comes in. They wouldn't be allowed past 9 p.m. if they get approval.
That they're not necessarily working, but just moving stuff around to prepare for the next day?
That would be determined by the village, right? If not, I assume.
Well, and
why else would you approve them?
Right. They could still be doing, I want to be clear, it's loading, unloading, opening, closing, handling crates, containers, building materials, or the performance of the work. So I just want to be clear that it's a catch-all that's included.
We will certainly clarify that construction time.
We plan on being very good neighbors to our neighbors. We made that very clear when we met on August 30th, and we fully intend on being. Enjoyed getting to know you and on.
Right.
I have one final comment, mm-hmm. and this is about our actual call for bid, the instructions for the bidders. I think it's a document that hasn't been updated in a long time. It refers throughout to he and his bid, he shall inspect, shall submit his proposal. I don't think that that's updated. I think that we don't use he and his throughout our documents anymore.
Have to follow up on that. I can tell you we have made some other changes to our documents. I do believe we were using a template that was strongly developed and encouraged by DCEO as we were doing this. So, but within our documents, I can tell you that we have started as well tracking for minority and women-owned businesses to make sure. Jeff and Greg developed a template.
All right, real good. Okay, great questions. Thank you so much. I think as we move along with this relationship, and it sounds like I've got all the confidence in the world in Matt and Brian that they will be attentive to our neighbors and do the right thing. And of course, you always have this forum to come back to us and talk to us. So if I don't hear any further questions or comments, we'll go ahead and take the vote.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Okay, great. Thanks, guys. So that concludes our regular session. We will go into executive session. So if I can get a motion to move into executive.
Motion to enter an executive session pursuant to 5 Illinois CS 120/2 c1 to discuss the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the village, and the village board meeting will adjourn after the executive session and will not return to open session.
Second.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.